The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPonte.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. In the last November midterm elections, Bexar County saw a blue wave hit the courthouse. Judges in Texas run and are elected via party affiliation. And last year, Bexar County had 15 district court races on the midterm ballot. All of the contested races were won by Democrats. There were similar results in the Bexar County Courts at Law and two probate court races. Democrats won all of those challenged races. There were similar results in Harris County. Democratic judicial candidates swept out experienced Republican judges. This has prompted a call in the legislature to rethink how Texas picks its judges. San Antonio Representative Steve Allison, a Republican, has authored House Bill 3061. It calls for a study to reassess the different methods of choosing judges. I spoke to Representative Allison about his bill.
I think we need a merit-based system, so I proposed a study for a commission to be established. Just to study it in the interim and come up with recommendations on a different format, or included within the study would be just keeping the status quo. But I just think we've reached the point where there's so much discussion about it, and it has been for some time. I've felt strongly about it for years. And, you know, Texas is one of the handful of states at best that still elects its judges by partisan election. Not that that should make any difference one way or the other. If it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad. But I just think we've reached the point where we need to study it. And if it's to maintain the status quo, so be it. But otherwise, I think there's different options that have been applied around the country that could be looked at and just look at the different variables and see if we can't come up with a better approach. I think it puts our current judges in a bad situation. I've long felt that. You know, we're supposed to be they're supposed to be fair and impartial. Yet we put them into a partisan election process and having to seek contributions from parties and worse yet, attorneys who are appearing before them or will appear before them. It just creates a bad appearance and potential conflict problems. The cost associated with it for them running their campaigns and then the state or counties having to conduct elections that are so costly, particularly with so many positions, and then just the situation that it creates for the public to be expected to know the detailed qualifications and background experience of so many different judges is just an impossible burden that I think we could fix by a merit-based system, whether on a commission-based, statewide commission, local commission, straight government, governor appointment, whatever. Or, like I said, or just leaving the status quo. But I think it's become such a potential controversy that I think it's long past time to sit down and open up the dialogue and see if we can't come up with a better system.
It's very tough for voters to go into the voting booth and make decisions on all of these judges that you would see on the ballot. How do you think the voters, what do you think they're doing? How are they picking judges now? What criteria?
I think some by word of mouth and some seek out information. But unfortunately, like we're seeing, you know, we saw it this last election cycle that it was just a determination clearly just based on party affiliation. And we saw it, whether it was 4 or 6 years ago, the same thing, but the opposite party getting the benefit. And I think that's just a bad situation. If that's the sole criteria for the uninformed voter to just go by party affiliation, not qualifications or merit, we're in trouble. And I think we're seeing that. I think we've lost some very, very good judges due to that, and in both parties. And we've gained some judges that just don't have the background, experience, or qualifications. And I don't think that serves the public. Something that our legal and judicial system, our judicial system, is something that affects each and every one of us on a daily basis, our daily lives and welfare. So I think we deserve better.
So which judges are we talking about? Because we have a lot of judges in Texas.
I think from top to bottom, from the bill I filed, proposes it for Supreme Court all the way down to county court judges. So Supreme Court, Court of Criminal Appeals, all the Court of Appeals, the district judges, and the county court judges, including the probate judges.
But not the, like, the county judge, like Nelson Wolf's position?
No, because that's really outside the judiciary. No, would not... At least the bill that I filed does not include the county judges. Although, the commission, if there's a commission appointed, could look at that as well. Because I know in some the more rural counties, I think the county judge does have more of a judicial role than in the large urban areas.
Right, they will act as probate judges and deal
yes,
with.
Yes, yes. We don't have here in San Antonio, or the larger urban areas don't have that. But that's a good point. That could be something that could be considered on a more local basis.
If what you're envisioning, I think what I'm hearing is you want to do a study. This is not about you have a plan already in place. You want to have a study to try and figure out what would work for Texas and what would people support. But if there was a plan that was put forth and it was something like these judges are appointed by the governor or by a commission, and then there are retention elections where people have a say after they're appointed, but it's not partisan. If that comes into being, how could that shake up politics in Texas, you think?
Well, and it shouldn't really shake up politics. It shouldn't really be a political situation for our judges. They're supposed to be fair and impartial and really devoid of politics. So, when you talk to, I think if you talk to 10 different people about, you might get 10 different opinions on whether it ought to be a straight governor's appointment for a term or longer, whether it should be a statewide commission, whether it should just be a nonpartisan election. I think that's what dictates more and more, that I think we're really in a situation where it just really needs to be studied, and there's no specific plan that I think could be successfully postured right now.
Ideally, the judges should not be partisan, but they do play a role in the helping fund local county political parties, like the Bexar County political party, and whether it be the Republican or Democrat. If they were removed from that, I wonder if that would have some sort of consequence on the ability of these parties to do what they do, which is pay for primaries and stuff. Something else to think about.
Well, but there's still the governor, lieutenant governor, the attorney general, representatives, senators, president, congressman, U.S. senators. There's plenty of elections and plenty of opportunities for the parties to get involved. I just don't think that's appropriate for judicial race. That's just the judiciary is just totally separate department of government that I don't think needs to be involved in the political wares like that from a cost point, ethics point, any point. So I think you can make that distinction. That's why I don't think it would really have a political impact except in a positive way.
What about district attorneys?
Well, I hadn't thought about that. I didn't include that. This is just a judicial selection commission.
But you got to wonder, why is a district attorney a partisan election as well?
Yeah, I think that the argument could be made. I think you're right.
And so everything's on the table right now to say, let's take a fresh look at this. Just because this is the way we've always been doing it, maybe now is the time to reexamine this and see what would work best for all Texans, regardless of what political stripes you got.
Yes, and I think the time is perfect. You can kind of feel a building momentum, more people talking about it. I know there had been discussions fairly serious several years ago, and it just didn't go anywhere. But I think if you look at the different judges, I think would be very amenable to it.
San Antonio State Representative Steve Allison, a Republican, is calling for a reexamination of how Texas picks its judges. He has authored a bill calling for a study. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back with your questions and comments. The number is 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about how Texas picks its judges. Right now, we do it at election time under partisan races. There's a lot of questions of whether or not that is if that serves Texas well. You can call in with your questions and comments. The number is 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined for the rest of the hour with Chief Justice Nathan Heck. He is the Texas Supreme Court Chief Justice. And Justice Heck, welcome to The Source.
Thanks for having me.
And Vincent Johnson is with us. He's a professor of law at St. Mary's University. And Professor Johnson, great to have you here.
Good to be here.
So, Chief Justice Heck, I know that you have been talking about this a long time. There are people who could say Republicans are only getting on board on this issue because of the outcome on the most recent midterm elections, but you have been talking about this way, way before that seemed like there was a turn of events.
That's true. I've been on the bench 38 years, and I've been on this court 30 years, more than 30 years, and I've thought since I first came to the bench that the way we select judges made no sense, and I think I wasn't around for all of this, but I think every Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Texas has felt the same way back since the 50s.
And Professor Johnson at St. Mary's School of Law, what is your take on the system we have now? How well does it work?
I think that it's among the worst systems for selecting judges. It focuses on the wrong factors, and we could do much, much better.
How do we get to a better system, what that would look like, and what are the factors? How do we judge this is one is better than the other? We're going to be talking about this afternoon, 210-614-8980. We've got some callers who want to join the conversation. Bridget, hi, Bridget. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. So my question is, one of the proposals of how to determine and what judge is going to be serving is to have the governor appoint them. Well, if the governor is elected based on party politics, what's to prevent the governor from appointing judges based entirely on his party platform and party politics?
All right, Bridget, thank you for the call. So, Chief Justice Hecht?
Almost every alternative system incorporates some assessment of the judge's qualifications. There is that in the federal system through the American Bar Association, which rates nominees as qualified, well-qualified, or not qualified. And states that have tried to distance themselves from partisan elections have almost, a vast majority of them have incorporated some group that looks at the qualifications of the person, maybe recommends them to the governor. In the governor's bill this time, they would rate them after the fact. But there's some mechanism to be sure that doesn't dominate.
So, Chief Justice Heck, do you have a particular system in mind that you think would work for Texas and that you could get the legislature would go along with?
Well, no. I should sell things if I had that, but I agree with the professor that ours is among the worst. There's problems with all, and here's the reason. The problem with judicial selection is that we want judges to be independent. We want them to rule based on what they think the law is and not what they think people want them to do. And on the other hand, we want them to be accountable. Just like every other office holder, the people want to review what they've done and say yes or no. And so mixing those two are in tension, and trying to balance between merits, qualifications, independence, and at the same time have some function to hold judges accountable just like everybody else, that's really where the difficulty comes in.
And Professor Johnson, you do a lot of work in this area, internationally, also nationally. What is the gold standard? Is there a gold standard?
I think the gold standard is what's called the Missouri Plan. It was adopted in Missouri in 1940. It's been followed in whole or in part in 34 states. It has five key elements to it. The first is that there is a nominating commission. This would be a blue ribbon panel that is well qualified to evaluate the qualifications of persons who would like to be appointed to the judiciary. The blue ribbon panel then, secondly, puts together a small list of well-qualified candidates. At the third stage, then an appointing authority. That might be the governor, it might be someone else, it might be a small committee, gets to make a recommendation from the list and to make an appointment. And then the judge that is appointed serves for a short period of time, normally 1 year, and then faces a retention election. It's not a partisan election. It's simply a question of whether or not the judge will be kept on the bench. And if the judge in that election, where it's only the judge's record that is being evaluated, if the judge is approved for retention, then the judge serves the normal term of office.
So in the retention election, there's not a challenger in that race. It's just whether or not we want to keep this guy or not. If if the public says this is not working for us, then we go back to the drawing board and start again.
Exactly.
And so, Chief Justice Heck, is this something you think Texas could adopt?
I do. I think, I agree with Representative Allison. We need to look always at what's best for our state. But as Professor Johnson says, this is the tires on this thing have been kicked for years and years and years in lots of states, and it is far superior to what we're doing.
Back to the phones with Crosby. Crosby, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. Thank you for your time. I'm calling. I'm originally from Houston. I've been in Houston 20 years. I've been in San Antonio area basically for the last 3 weeks. I'm relocated. And I just wanted to comment on, I was an active participant and campaign person in Harris County's Blue Wave for the 19 African-American judges that got caught up and all got elected in kind of a bipartisanship vote. And it also kind of, unfortunately, it caught it caught Ed Emmett, who's a beloved judge in Houston. He lost to a first-time, no-experience individual for Harris County judge. So I guess my question to the judge is, it almost always seems to be fine when it's not working out for the other party's favor. So how do we fix this?
All right, Crosby, thank you for that. And I think he brings up a great point about how, while the process we don't have right now is perfect, and you can say it's maybe the worst one out there, it did introduce a lot of diversity to the bench in Harris County, and that's something. So, Chief Justice Heck?
But it can't do that dependably. It just happens because the partisan politics are so strong in it that it just pushes whichever way tends to push, whichever way the top of the ticket is moving. So in 1 year, it can sweep a bunch of Democrat judges into the office. In another year, it could sweep them all out. And it's the sweep that's the problem. I've often joked, if we could find that day where both parties were equally worried about their future, maybe we could get some change. And that actually happened several times back in the 1990s. The plan similar to what Professor Johnson described actually passed the Texas Senate 3 times, and it had Republican and Democratic support. That's the only way it could pass back then. So, yes, I hear the subject always comes up when one side is winning or one side is losing, but that's not really the issue. That just calls it the problem that's always been there to our attention.
And Professor Johnson, having diversity on the court, is that important?
Oh, yes, absolutely important.
And is that something that, if there was this Missouri plan in place, would that also be something that a mechanism to do that as well?
I think it would be important for the community as a whole, in all of its diversity, to be represented within the Blue Ribbon Panel that's the gatekeeper to determining the qualifications of candidates for positions in the judiciary.
And why is it important that we have diversity on the bench?
I think it reflects the fairness of the system, that nobody is excluded from the representation in the decision-making process in terms of gender or ethnicity. I think that it is a key to an appearance of fairness of the judiciary, and that if we lack that diversity, there are going to be suspicions about the basis on which decisions are made by judges.
And Chief Justice,
sir. Yeah, I'll just add to that and say that the third branch is really uniquely dependent upon public trust. People have to look at the court and they have to feel in their heart that there's justice there. They're going to get treated fairly, even-handedly. And whatever you think of the political branches, this is a place where you can go and the rule of law is going to be followed. So it needs to have enough diversity so that people can look at it and say, yep, I think that's what's going to happen.
So public buy-in is critical in trying to come up with a new system, and then people will say, this is an improvement, and this will serve all of the citizenry. Anyone who goes before the bench is going to get his fair shake. Is that right, Chief Justice?
Right. Yep, that's right.
And if that breaks down, what could we see, Professor Johnson? When people lose faith in the courts?
Well, the courts work only because they do have the confidence of the people. And if that confidence were lost, then persons would be less willing to obey the orders of courts, to adhere to the decisions, or even to take their disputes to court rather than solving them out of court through violence or through other means.
So that's part of the legitimacy of the court, having a population of judges that looks like the population that they serve.
Yes, yes.
And making sure that we have a way to get there. We're talking about the judicial system here in Texas, how we pick judges. When you go to vote in the last election, the midterm elections, you saw here in Bexar County, there were a lot of court-at-law judges and district judges on the ballot. Did you know many of these people by name? Were you able to weigh one against the other, or did you go along party affiliation? Is that party banner, is that information that is useful, or is it not? You know, how do we make these decisions? How do we make sure that we're finding the best people, the most just people, the people who know the law, who are good administrators, and not just electing people who are good at getting elected? Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. 210-614-8980. The source continues right after this break. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Texas Supreme Court Chief Justice Nathan Hecht and other lawmakers are calling for reform on the selection process for judges on many of the state's courts. Currently, most judges are chosen by voters during major election cycles, and Texas requires these candidates to run under the banner for a specific political party, Republican or Democrat. If the system were to change, what would be an alternative? Call in with your questions and comments. Number is 210-614-8980. And we have Joanne on the phone. And Joanne, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
I find it interesting that our city council goes out of its way to be nonpartisan, and that's a very political body. And we don't try to, and we try very hard not to see which, you know, which side of the aisle they're on. And I don't know why that's true, but I think in many mayoral races that is true in Texas. The other thing is, it seems to me it should be a meritocracy. It should be based on how good that judge is, how fair they are, how quickly they're cleared their dockets. That doesn't seem to fit into the system right now. And, you know, kind of like civil service does. And the other thing is, when you talk about diversity and fairness, that sounds like a really great concept. But if, you know, you're one-on-one with a judge when you go to a case, so, you know, do you want that person to be diverse way at this end or way at that end? I mean, as a group, if you look at it from a macro standpoint, they're, you know, they, diverse could mean way left, way right, you know, and not much in the middle. And I think, you know, a judge should just basically be a fair person. And do the job really well, and that's basically what their qualifications should be.
Okay, Joanne, thank you for the call. So Chief Justice Hecht, trying to find those fair people that know the law, who show up and do put in a full day's work every day, and then be able to communicate that to voters or other decision makers. You know, how do we do that? How do we get there?
Well, she brings up a great point, it is important, as we said earlier, for there to be public trust in the courts, but that doesn't come by having half the judges in one party and half the judges in the other, or half the judges on the left or half on the right. There shouldn't be a political way of looking at the legal issues and cases. When you're going through a family matter, a divorce, a custody case, when your child has been arrested for a possession of drugs or something, when you have a business dispute, somebody runs into the back of you, there's no left or right view of the law in those cases. There's no Republican Democrat view. The judge ought to know what the law is, and he ought to be the umpire and calling the balls and strikes, and not saying, okay, well, you know, the case before you happened to know that person was in one party and she won. Now you're in the other party, so I guess it's your turn.
And Professor Vincent Johnson with St. Mary's School of Law, we have a lot of judges in Texas. Not all of them are going to decide murder cases. A lot of them we're talking about also our Texas Court of Criminal Appeals, which weighs in on death row decisions, and also the Texas Supreme Court, which is of course the Chief Justice Nathan Hecht. That's his home bench, and they weigh in. They decide make decisions about civil matters of high importance in Texas. Who's on that court makes a big difference in Texas, and whether or not they're elected or appointed could shift, you know, power, the base of power in the state.
Well, that's true, and it certainly is important who the judges are. Judicial selection is the heart of having a fair justice system. If good judges are not selected, if they're not retained, the system is not going to do good work. It's not going to make good decisions. It's not going to play its role as an important branch of government. I think with regard to all judges, at whatever level of court, it's important that the judge be honest. It's important that the judge be intelligent. The judge has to have judicial temperament, the mindset to look at a case carefully analyzing the law and the facts and wanting to reach a correct decision. And then the judge has to be ethical. And we hold judges to the highest ethical standards, and those are difficult to meet, and some persons are quite capable of doing that, and others are not.
And Chief Justice Hecht, you're talking about your bench as well, no longer being elected. And you've been elected many times.
Six times, more than anybody in history to this court.
And so what's wrong with that? It seems to be working for you.
Well, it's working for me, but it's not working for the state. And as I said when I first came on the bench, and before that, when I was in practicing law, that was a long time ago, I said, this makes no sense, because you're picking judges because of what party they're in or because they have an attractive name. That happens sometimes. So you see Sam Houston running for judge, you think, oh, he must be a good guy. And who knows who he is? There were seven, the caller earlier from Houston, there were 76 judges on the ballot in Houston, in Harris County, in last November. Most of the lawyers don't know who those people are. So it's not just a question about what's good for one judge or another. It's what's good for the state.
We have an email from Sarah. I'm a young attorney practicing primarily in Bexar County. In my experience, our system is harmed by the interjection of money and politics into the judiciary. Even if I ever have any aspirations to become a judge one day, the election process specifically aligns with party, and begging lawyers for money will discourage me from ever trying to run. So that brings up a really great point. So let me start off first with Professor Johnson. The system we have now, do you think it keeps good people from running,
yes,
from becoming judges?
Yes, absolutely. I think that the fundraising process to pay for the yard signs, the billboards, the ads on television and online, I think that is a very daunting prospect for many persons who could be very good members of the judiciary. And I think that the role of money in judicial elections casts a cloud over the quality of the judiciary. It at the minimum looks like there is an appearance of impropriety because the persons who gave the money, which are normally lawyers or large corporations, they quite reasonably would be thought to be expecting something in return. And so at the minimum, we have an appearance of impropriety, and at the worst, there's actual bias in the decisions that are made.
210-614-8980 if you want to join our conversation as we talk about how we pick judges in Texas. So Chief Justice Hecht, money involved in these campaigns, where do the judges find the money to run for election?
It's just a horrible process. And there's, of the 1,100 judges in the general trial and appellate courts that run for office, there's not two that like raising money. You have to ask your friends, you have to ask lawyers, and nobody likes it. The judges are polled every once in a while. Do you think this looks bad? About 80% of us all say, oh, yeah, it looks terrible. But what can you do if you're going to have to campaign for office? You can't just sit back and sort of let things roll along. You've got to get your name out a little bit, tell people why they should vote for you and not for somebody else, why you're qualified. Sometimes that's very important because the other person is not qualified. And so the political election of judges requires them to raise money. There's just no other viable way to do it, and it stinks to high heaven.
And who writes the checks?
Law firms, lawyers, individual groups of people, sometimes corporate PACs, or Texas doesn't let corporations or unions contribute directly to candidates, but it's there are a lot, lots of other people, and sometimes you're blessed with a few friends who really want to see you win, and they try to help you. A lot of times, judges are so worried about this that they will get somebody else to raise the money for them. Some judges even try to kind of have a blind trust sort of thing, so that they don't even know who's given to them until the report is filed. But it's it's Band-Aids and slapstick. It's, you know, it's just trying to make it look not as bad as it could. And you know, I should emphasize, every judge I know bends over backward not to let contributions to a political race affect his decisions. I mean, it's, sometimes it almost has the reverse effect that you think, you know, to, just to make sure that people know that I'm fair, I have to think, I'd think twice about a case that I might not think twice about. And so it's just a bad part of the
And so the better option is not have elections, not force judges to raise money, not allow lawyers who would be before that judge at any given time write those checks in order to preserve the appearance of you know, ethics behavior in, from our judges. We're taking a break. If you want to call in and join our conversation, it's 210-614-8980. That's the number to call. And this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Our number is 210-614-8980. We invite you into our conversation as we talk about how Texas picks its judges. Right now, we elect them under a party banner. There are other alternatives, which some say would be more fair and which would get rid of this sort of this churning that we have on Election Day, where we have great experienced judges who are sometimes knocked out of office by other candidates who may not have the depth of experience. And, you know, and we say, well, what happened? How do we fix this? The number to call in is 210-614-8980. And professor of law at St. Mary's University, Vincent Johnson, you have actually worked in other areas, in other states where this has happened, where they've made this transition.
Yes, I have.
And what do they do? How did that work?
In New York State, I worked for Bernard Meyer. He was a judge on the highest court of the state. He was the first merit appointee. So it was when New York shifted from elections to appointment on the high court. And when Judge Meyer got his position on the court, I was with him for a year. And I can say that the political considerations played absolutely no role in the decision of the more than 600 cases that the court decided that year, that there was never a concern about raising money for reelection because he didn't have to run for reelection. He was a merit appointee and would be reappointed at a specific interval. The politics was not a matter in the decision of the cases that came before the court. In my experience working for federal courts, is the same is true, that when judges have garnered an appointment by the president, confirmation by the Senate, and then they're guaranteed life tenure and non-reducible compensation by the Constitution, that they focus on the work, they focus on getting it right, and politics, even though it would have been part of the presidential appointment, recedes into the background.
Now, we got an email from Bill. He says fixing gerrymandering first is more important and fundamental than judgeships. But, okay, we're not talking about gerrymandering today. We'll talk about that some other time. But, Bill, this says brings up an issue for your from your email that when we have power structures, it's very different, very hard to get out of that arthritic and that built-up sort of a vested interest method of doing things and moving to a new way of doing stuff. They always say if you want to make enemies, try to change things. So Chief Justice Hecht, with the system we have now, it is part of our partisan politics and money is flowing and there are people who are involved in partisan politics that don't want this changed.
I think that's right, but there always have been, and there are people on the other side. And as Representative Alston said earlier, we need to tee the issue up again and talk about it. Back in the 90s, nonpartisan election process with merit selection passed the Texas Senate three times. I mentioned earlier it had a bipartisan sponsorship. The lieutenant governor back then, the leader of the Senate, was a Democrat, Bob Bullock. He was very supportive of the change, as were Texas the Texas senators who voted for it. The only way it could pass the Senate was that to have bipartisan support. It came pretty close a couple of times in the House. It's languished for a while. There hadn't been a lot of discussion about it for the last few years. Now Governor Abbott has indicated his support for a change. He's favorable to a bill that's been introduced in the Texas House. Representative Allison says we should study this carefully, and he's exactly right about that. So, I think as time passes and people see, they're just reminded of how bad this can really be. They change their minds. They say, let's try something else.
So, what kind of outcomes would we see with this reform, sweeping reform, that are that's different now? If the system that we have is so horrible, how are we seeing those horrible results? What's out there? So, Professor Johnson.
Well, I think that it's important to realize why the system does not work now with judicial elections. It doesn't work because voters have no fair chance of becoming fully informed to be able to cast intelligent ballots. Number of races that voters are expected to weigh in on, which in the last election in San Antonio was 25 or more races, there's no chance of becoming well familiar with the records and the performance of the candidates who presumably have never been seen in a professional role as a lawyer or a judge by many of the voters. And so, it's very different than when elections came into being in Texas, where there was a much smaller population, communities were small, everybody would know everyone in the community. Now we're in cities with millions of persons, and there's no fair chance for the voters to become informed.
But if this system is so deeply flawed, then we have a bunch of bozos on the bench who shouldn't be there. Is that true or false?
No, that's not true. We have many good judges, and despite the failings of the system, they have lived up to high standards. They've complied with the rules of ethics. They've been diligent with regard to judicial training, and so in many instances, we have very good judges, but they should not be put to the indignity of raising money for campaigns to keep their offices. We should have a better system of retaining good judges and one that focuses on merit.
So, Chief Justice Nathan Hecht, would we see any kind of change in the outcomes in our judicial system if we move to something like the Missouri plan?
I hope not. Because, again, I think the judges do their very best to try to lay that aside. It's the appearance that is so pernicious. And when partisanship has as much to do with judicial selection as it does in our state, there is a message to the public that partisanship makes a difference in outcomes, whether it really does or not. That's the message, that it's not about the rule of law. It's about whose side you're on. And when that message is so pounded in our political discussion with the other two branches that goes on all day, every day, that it kind of corrupts our view of what judges do, that is really, regardless of whether it influenced this decision or that decision, that's really the evil that we face.
So are we now, Chief Justice, are we in a sweet spot, seeing how Texas kind of could be making some changes, becoming purple in parts of the state, and with people recognizing this as an opportunity right now to do this?
I don't know enough to know, but I think there are a lot of people out there who say could be.
Because if we have like these elections where one side is, every 2 years, midterms and presidential elections, right, these sweeping changes, we could have a lot more churn right now than we have seen over the past 20 years.
Right. And that's really bad for the judiciary. The young lady that said she might want to be a judge someday, but, you know, why would she take this on? You know, your spouse is going to say to you, now tell me again why you're going to leave the practice of law and go to a place where you have to work hard and you're going to get criticized by everybody and you're not going to get paid very much. And besides that, you could lose your job for no fault of your own. And the answer is what? I better stay put. And that's just very discouraging to building the kind of judiciary that the people of Texas deserve.
And so how do we get there? Right now, Representative Allison is calling for a bill that would authorize a study. That's not a whole lot of action. How do we get to the study and get to action?
I think you find the moment and strike. And maybe this is it, and maybe it's a ways off. But you have to try. And the good thing about Representative Allison's process is that the people are going to have to buy into this. This takes a constitutional amendment. And so you can't just pass a bill across the street. You've got to get the voters to say, yep, I think that's good for Texas. And that may take a while. It may take some education. Because, you know, typically the answer on the other side is we got to elect judges because we got to be able to throw the bums out. But the reality is you don't know who the bums are because there's too many names on the ballot. And so really a change would give voters more power to demand accountability of judges, but you've got to convince them of that. You can't just tell them.
And so Professor Johnson also making sure that we have qualifications for these judicial candidates, that would have to be part of this as well to sort of make sure that we just don't have a cronies being appointed to the bench.
I think that's ideally part of the reform package.
And to get to a constitutional amendment, we would have to have a legislative session in order to put together a proposition. So this is something that is, I mean, it's not going to happen tomorrow, Chief Justice Heck. What do we do in the meantime?
Well, in the meantime, I think we get started somewhere. I talked to the governor the other day about the bill. He says we've got to start talking about this. I think Governor Abbott is the first governor in Texas history to advocate a change.
Right.
Texas has elected judges since we became a state, except for a few years during Reconstruction.
Right. So it's always good to have a clear vision of where you want the state to go, what needs to happen, what that would look like, and what's wrong with what we have today. I want to thank our guest, Chief Justice Nathan Hecht. He's with the Texas Supreme Court. Vincent Johnson, a professor of law at St. Mary's University. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio.